Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Christmas and New Year's Day are just around the corner, and between now and then, there will certainly be plenty of family gatherings for you and yours. But are you concerned that those gatherings will not be so family friendly? Are conflicts inevitable for you and your family? Will you have to woo-saw even before you get there? Well, tonight, we'll talk about how you can manage your behavior and the drama of holiday family gatherings. My guests are Jasmine Seville, social worker with the Amerigroup DC Wellness Center, and Tanya Barnett, author of Being a Wife Just Got Real, The Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. If you are concerned about the possibility of conflicts during holiday family gatherings, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jasmine, thanks for coming in for the program.
Thank you for having me.
Tanya, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, so let's get right into this. Are family conflicts inevitable, Jasmine?
I don't think so. I don't think they have to be. I think there are a lot of expectations around just gathering during the holidays, and that can definitely bring its own sense of overwhelm, especially if you're engaging a new family member or someone you haven't seen in a long time. You're traveling from out of town or people are coming to visit you, so you feel like the likelihood of it happening can increase, but I don't feel like it has to happen.
Mm-hmm. But it can happen, can't it, Tanya?
Absolutely. And I think it's important that you set your expectations and you have conversations with people, especially if you know that there are difficult family members that you may encounter. Already go into the scene knowing, okay, this is my limit, this is my boundary, and then not allowing that person to cross that.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conflicts might we see, big or small? Tanya, have you had any experience with conflicts during these holiday family gatherings?
Yes, I have. I have a brother that lives in Atlanta, and he keeps his house way cooler than my family does during the winter. And so one year, it was a constant back and forth of me turning up his thermostat and turning down the thermostat. Mm. And then it just got to the point where my husband and I decided that going forward, we'll stay at a hotel so that that wouldn't be an issue for us.
So when you were turning up the heat and he was turning it down, what kind of conversation was that?
It was heated. My parents kind of got involved and tried to get him to see where I was coming from, that I was, you know, my family were guests at his home. And then my mother also wanted me to see from his point of view that, you know, he keeps his house a certain temperature. And so my mom kind of helped us navigate that. And then, like I said, we decided from now on we would stay at a hotel.
Wow. Wow. That's a new one. I've never heard that before, but wow. And is everything, pardon the expression, cool now that you two that you and your husband are staying at hotels when you see your brother?
Yes. And actually, when my brother came here for Thanksgiving, he and his wife stayed at a hotel, but their kids stayed with us.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That is very interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about avoiding conflicts, family feuds during the holiday gatherings. Do you have a problem with your family members during the holiday gatherings, or do you already have a plan? Let's talk about a plan, Jasmine. What might a plan look like ahead of or short of, you know, baby, we're going to have to stay in a hotel, so we know that. But there are other kinds of conflicts that you might not be prepared for.
I agree. I think it's best to just take some time to consider what you can handle and plan your exit strategies. It's something I employ myself, and that can look like setting time limits. So it can be, baby, look, you know, we're going to Big Mama's house. This person is coming. You know, last time it got kind of heated. So let's stay 2 hours tops and then we can go on to the next, you know, location. Or it could be as simple as just pivoting conversations, being prepared to understand what topics are just hot button issues and maybe you want to avoid those. You know, family gatherings are always wonderful, but they may not always be the best time to discuss drama and trauma. So if you can avoid it, it's okay to do so.
Is retreating always the best thing?
It can be. It can serve two purposes. There's the things that often come up during those tough holiday discussions or quarrels are issues that have probably been longstanding and predate showing up for Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or whatever it is that you celebrate. So, you know, is it the most appropriate time if this issue is going to continue even after the holiday season is over? Mm. Maybe you can find better timing to discuss it when you're a little less inebriated or a little less, let's not pretend like eating and drink don't play a factor in how we feel about things when, you know, emotions are running high. So maybe we can just have this conversation at a different time and not necessarily around the dinner table.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about conflicts with family members during those holiday gatherings. Is that something you are concerned about? Is it something that you dread? Have you had problems in the past with family members, your cousin, your sister, your brother, your grandparents, for that matter, anyone perhaps that you really would prefer not to deal with, but know that you will during perhaps Christmas dinner, New Year's Day dinner, or any kind of family gathering? If you have a comment or a question or something you want to share with us, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So talk to me a little bit about, and you really kind of alluded to this just a few moments ago, Jasmine, that there are some things that you perhaps should not talk about. Give me kind of a list of some things that you shouldn't talk about and why, some things that may be more volatile than others.
The immediate things that come to mind are politics, even though we those polarizing topics and issues, politics, religion, how you practice your spirituality. Not that you should hide those things about yourself, but if you're not prepared to go in and take a hard line about your boundaries and who you are and present, you know, all of it there, then it's okay to just not bring those up. It's okay to not want to talk about the impeachment during holiday dinner. It's okay to not want to talk about how you no longer go to church when Big Mama is expecting you to be at Sunday service next week. It's okay for you to not have to talk about those things if it's not comfortable right then. But if you are okay with having those brave conversations and you're prepared to do so in a measured manner and, you know, not fly off the handle, by all means, I think you should.
But there's some things that you shouldn't talk about, but what if there are some things that are just, you know, intrinsically you? These are things that have to do with exactly who you are and how you live. Okay, if you're gay, do you bring your partner? If you are a vegan, do you bring your own bag of microgreens, you know, and just have your mother look at you while, you know, she's got a plate full of mac and cheese and a turkey leg and some ham and some chitlins. There's certain things that even though you don't talk about it, some people are going to talk about it with you.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's where you have the conversation ahead of time, whether it's with, you know, your parents or what have you. We have a family member who is vegetarian/vegan, and so they already know that the greens are going to have, you know, smoked turkey in them and things of that nature. So they do bring their own food to our family gatherings. And then we're also mindful, like mac and cheese or whatever, things of that nature, that to make sure that we prepare something that they can eat. But I think really having those conversations beforehand, before everyone gets together, I think is way more important, whether it is, you know, you have a child who may present as gay or what have you. Have that conversation with your family beforehand so that that person feels comfortable coming to the family gathering and letting them know this is an off-topic, hands-off topic.
So, okay, you said something that I thought was really interesting, and I think that deals with what one of the things that I just suggested. So, it's not always about the individual. It may be the family as a group. So for the vegan, the one vegan family member that comes in and brings his or her own food, does the larger family group, do those guys need to have a powwow and say, leave Susan alone about, you know, her grass and tree bark when she comes in? And just,
yeah, because you know what? You want everyone to feel comfortable when they come to your home for these family gatherings. It's hard enough already, especially if there's been tension in the past. And so you want people to be able, to me, family is everything. And so I want everyone that comes to my home to feel comfortable. I don't want that tension because we've had that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why setting up those boundaries before we even get together, calling my mom and saying, hey, mom, you know, when we get together, we're not going to have a conversation about this or what have you. Or if so-and-so gets started, who's going to shut them down before, you know, it jumps off or what have you. And I think that's a way that everyone is comfortable when they come to the table and no one leaves with hurt feelings.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about family feuds during the holiday gatherings. What do you need to do to avoid the conflict? Let's talk to Cookie. Cookie calling from Virginia. Cookie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there. How are you all?
Doing just fine.
Good. I had to just say this. Just as late as or as early as Thanksgiving that just passed, you ever have like I have a sibling, a brother, and he is opinionated, outspoken. He's just going to say whatever. And the biggest thing is he's so contrary. Like if everybody says, oh, it's cold outside, he said, well, it ain't that bad. You know, he's going to give you that contrary decision or opinion every single time. And this year, I decided to choose me. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing him this year. So for that reason, I decided to do Friendsgiving with some friends. And I didn't want my mom to feel like she's in the middle of that. You know, that she has to choose between her kids. But I was like, he has a right to come. Well, I just couldn't take him this year. But he's just so opinionated. So I have avoided, some gatherings just to avoid being around him. Is that strange?
Well, here's my question before I turn this over to my panelists here. After that, was there an issue with your family? Did you get any blowback because of that?
It was new because I'd never done it before. And yes, it was some uncomfortability. My mom was not comfortable or she wasn't happy with my decision, but she did respect it because, you know, everyone in the family is well aware of his personality and how, annoying he can be, for lack of a better word. But, you know, most people it ends up in some type of a disagreement wherever he's concerned. It's going to be a debate with him. He can never go along to get along, as people say. But nobody really addresses it. They let him kind of go because my mom, I guess maybe coddled, maybe for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a little, she said, you know, she stated on numerous occasions, I'm just not happy with the fact that you're not going to be there. And it was weird for me, but it was a good Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It was peaceful, you know. Well, but is that strange or not?
What do you think about that, Jasmine? She says, is that strange?
I don't think it's strange at all. I think it's really important to, you know, protect as much of your peace as possible, especially if you know people are going to frustrate you or you just don't have the bandwidth to engage in those kind of conversations and figure out the root cause of why he's so contrary or why he seeks to be so sensational, you know. And I think it's okay to like draw those lines and say, I'm going to do something alternative, especially if you still are able to maintain a relationship with your family. I think that's a great idea.
Mm. What do you think about that, Tanya?
I think it's a great idea. We're all adults and we're allowed to make decisions that make us happy. And I think especially as women are concerned, whether you're the oldest sister or the baby girl or whatever, a lot of times we put everyone else's feelings and comfort before ours. And I feel like especially when it comes to a holiday and you come into my house, I can set the rules and the tone for my house.
Hmm.
So I think it's a great idea.
And I think also, Cookie, if you decide to attend a family event with your brother sometime soon, and everybody thinks it's cold outside, and he says it's not cold, to have him eat outside. so just a thought. But Cookie, happy holidays to you, and thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Capitol Heights, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
That's good. I totally agree with part of what the previous caller said, but I just, at this point, because of the friction, I just kind of avoid and don't go to certain family members' houses or participate in certain events because I just don't want that, and I don't want my holiday to be ruined because of the friction.
So what is your solution? I mean, what is the major issue that you've had with your family, real quick?
Well, with one side of my family, not both sides, just my father's side of the family, there's always been friction over the care of family members and different things. So that's carried over into the years. So I just don't even partake in that side of the family's event. I just don't, because I don't want that friction. I don't want it to continue to carry on. So I just take myself out of the equation.
Okay. I want you to stay on the line, Renee. I'll have my guests react to what you were sharing with us in just a bit, but I need to take a quick break. Lines are still open if you have a comment or question about dealing with family conflicts during this holiday season, particularly around, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, Kwanzaa, New Year's Day. Somebody may not like the black eyed peas, and it's all over at that point. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But we're still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. What is the best way to avoid those family feuds during the holiday gatherings? It may be easier said than done, but it can be done. You can have peace during the holidays with your family. And we have some guests who have some suggestions for us. Jasmine Seville is a social worker with the Amerigroup DC Wellness Center. And Tanya Barnett is the author of Being a Wife Just Got Real, The Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We were talking to Renee. Your thoughts, Jasmine, about what Renee was sharing with us?
I think it's really interesting that, you know, family gatherings during the holidays seem to be the time when people also want to talk about larger family issues like caring for loved ones. I think it's so easy for those things to come to the forefront because the holidays might be the only time when you're able to get everyone in mm-hmm. the same room. But those are definitely conversations that require some preparation. It's unfortunate that, you know, you kind of have to walk into it and then all of a sudden we're talking about how we share the costs of a caregiver or nurse, or alter our schedules or disrupt our routines to make sure that someone is being supported the way they need to be. I'm just wondering what it would look like to try to get that conversation started before you get.
Yeah, you don't want to have that during the holiday celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the time or place for that, even if everyone may be in agreement, but those are still really delicate things.
They're really delicate, and for a lot of times, if there's an immediate response needed, you can't always start to implement the solution. If I need to secure some services, if, you know, grandma needs to transition, you know, the level of her care to outside of the home, like, how do you start when it's the middle of Christmas time, you know, and people are traveling. So it's already a conversation that's going to extend well past, you know, just this particular time that we're together. So I would hope that that's just an ongoing conversation that you can have so that it doesn't become quite as urgent at such an inopportune time.
You know, Tanya, following the title of your book, the subtitle, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. Were these issues, did they come up immediately after you got married? Was this something that you just did not think about before you got married and had to make an adjustment? And I'm not talking about just the thing with the heat and your brother, but other things related to family gatherings, perhaps with your husband's family, or other issues related to holidays and family conflicts.
For me, no, we hadn't talked about that, but I do believe that that's one of the things that couples need to talk about before they get married, because there are some times where family members, you don't know if there's tension with your potential spouse and their family members and what those family gatherings would look like. So I'm a huge advocate that when people are dating and considering marriage, that they talk about those hard subjects, like how do we handle it if, you know, Aunt Susie gets drunk and, you know, there's all these behaviors, or if I have a conflict with someone else, how do we handle that before we walk into that situation? Also, if people decide that they want to have conversations during the holiday, then have that already written out what that looks like. So if someone wants to say, hey, we want to sit down and hand out everybody a copy of the will, talk about that ahead of time, you know, before the person even dies or what have you. So that people aren't bum-rushed with emotional outbursts and things of that nature. So having a plan and being prepared to have hard conversations, I think it's a lot easier because you will have everybody together if you have people flying in from all over the country.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Rockville. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you.
Sure.
So my family celebrates Kwanzaa.
Okay.
I have a very large family. It starts pretty early that, you know, they ask for money to rent a hall. I'm one of 11. This is my mother's side of family. She's one of 13, and so on and so on. So we have a very large family. And there's a couple of things that I avoid family gatherings. One is that I'm always asked for money, whether it doesn't matter. Someone's going to come to me and say they need something, and they ask for money. And it could be legitimate. You know, they need something. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I had to take my sister's light bill, $400. It was turned off. But I've gotten to the point now where I just hate it. I don't even want to be around family because somebody's going to come to me and ask for money. I feel like I want to put a shirt on that says, don't ask. It's frustrating to me. It really, I get upset even because they're asking. Because I feel like, don't ask me. And then the other thing is that I feel like, you know, there's a lot of struggle and poverty and health issues and stuff like that. And I just feel like it's never really a positive. Like, you see people downtrodden, and it's just kind of depressing in a way, you know. And I don't know. I love my family, and I, you know, want to be there and be happy and stuff like that. But sometimes the holidays make me sad.
So
everybody's in a good place.
Yeah, that's such a complex issue. If you are, and Jasmine, if you are the the one who may be the most successful, or at least the one who handles finances the best, and everyone's kind of looking to you. I can understand how that can be really, really uncomfortable.
It is. I'm like the Oprah in the family.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that sort of avoidance?
It's so complicated because, you know, being a social worker, I'm often looked at like you're the resource person. Surely you know what to do.
The mental health person.
You know what to do. So I think, you know, the piece becomes, what are your responsibilities to yourself and your family during these gatherings? Like, how do they expect? Sometimes it's the peacemaker. Sometimes it's this benevolent, generous, you know, person who's got all the solutions. I think it's okay if there is an ongoing problem where you're always being asked for resources, that you kind of share that with other family members. Like, if you're one of 11 and somebody has a need, I think it's okay to say, well, can you do $50? Can you do $10?
Everybody give Sylvia $25.
You know, a group effort. Because one of the things I always share with family, you know, the consequences of some of the choices we make or some of the behavior patterns we have, if it gets to the point where you need my assistance, then we all have to, you know, come together to figure out the best solution. And sometimes it can be me offering you immediate help, but other times it might be, let's address this root cause. So let me connect you to some resources maybe that I've heard about so that you can get the best help so that this doesn't become such a repeated issue and a repeated problem.
Tanya, your thoughts about that?
I agree. And I also, there's one simple word, no. Mm-hmm. No is a complete sentence. And I don't have to give you an explanation why I'm saying no. Because what happens is everyone else, like you're saying, you know, if you're being one of 11, everyone else doesn't get to partake in of the giving. So, you know, if you say no, I cannot help you, then it is what it is, and your family members have to respect that, because you have to give yourself permission to be okay with your choices and your decisions, and no one has the right to put any pressure on you to think otherwise.
And just
I think what you're saying is true. I think more of it is myself, because I just, I'm even feeling it now. It's like an overwhelming feeling of just being asked all the time. I would just be, I mean, I say no. A lot of times I say yeah, but it's just even being asked bothers me. After a while, it's like a trigger.
Right.
You know, being asked, even that just bothers me. And I just avoid, where I want to be with my family. I'm the only one here in Maryland. All my family's in New York. And I will say, for the most part, honestly, a lot of them don't, you know, I have several siblings that are homeless. I mean, it's just really, I am the only one working. Like,
And you know what you can do, too, since the playoff of, we're going into a new decade, a new year, things of that nature, put that out front. Starting in 2020, I will not be giving anyone anything because I'm saving for X, Y, Z, or again, you don't even have to give them the reason why. You can just say, in 2020, I'm not going to be handing out money.
Yeah.
So you need to find another way to be resourceful.
And this is something I want to share, too. Definitely in my work as a social worker, you don't always see people at their best. You know, even at the Wellness Center, when, you know, people come in, they're in crisis. So you can't stop the ask. But what I take a little comfort in, or helps to alleviate some of the pressure, there's function and dysfunction. So even if I'm not able to respond to your immediate need, even if I have to tell you no, you have to be okay with understanding, you know, they'll be okay until they can get to the next point of help. Even if I have to help direct them and guide them towards that help, but it's okay to say no and understand they got to this point and they'll figure it out.
Well, Lisa, we hope that you have a happy and healthy and conflict-free holiday. So thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Vicki, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, I spoke earlier and I stated that I really feel like, when it comes down to my family gatherings, number one, I've always been considered as the black sheep. But even when it comes down to that, I would not allow or stop myself from going around my family having fun, you know, making them laugh and everything, because I'm kind of sort of like the goofball, the one that wants to see everybody happy, laughing, you know, all that stuff. You're always going to have a spoiled apple out of the bunch, regardless of what. Mm-hmm. But you can't allow that spoiled apple to take your joy. And if mm-hmm. you've seen, and you know when you with your family, because every time I get with my family, like, even if I don't come to a function, everybody's calling me like, where you at? Where you at? Why you late? Why you not here? Because I'm the one, like, regardless of what, that spoiled apple, you can't keep talking to yourself. Right. You can't keep, you know, trying to bicker and go back and forth if nobody's right there with you doing it.
But Vicky, let me say this. It's one thing to be the, you know, the party girl of the family, making everybody laugh. It's another thing to be the troublemaker. Mm. And you said, you know, you like to see everybody happy. You like to make people laugh. But you also said you were considered the black sheep of the family. So,
right.
You know, why would you say that you would be considered the black sheep of the family?
Well, one is because I've always been the kind of person where I have siblings and everything. And back in the day, our parents, they would, you know, take care of the children and, you know, they did what they could to provide for us. I was more of the, okay, I'm not going to wait for nobody to give me anything. I'm going to go get it because this is what I want. So, in so many words, that kind of made me the black sheep because I wasn't one that sat around and waited and wanted to be, you know, just sitting right there waiting for somebody to do something for me.
So let me ask you this. So, but now when you go around family gatherings, I mean, are there conflicts with family now or are things fine?
Well, I'm going to say you have certain ones that will try to make a comment or
about old,
know,
stuff.
Exactly.
Ah, there it is.
Right, about who I used to be and how I used to respond. But I just look at them and I laugh and I tell them, you know, one thing for sure, thing for certain, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm one of God's chosen ones, so it's nothing that you can do to stop me.
So let me have my guests weigh in, because I think, you know, and I'll start with Tanya, you know, because that's one of the, you know, one of the things, and I think Vicky is such a prime example of that. I am not who I used to be. And if I am not who I used to be, and that person was the black sheep or the blue sheep or the pink sheep, whatever, you know, whatever kind of farm animal you want to talk about. But now I'm good. Can we just have peace now without, you know, talking about what happened way back when, Tanya?
Absolutely. And that's where the communication comes in. And then even reaching out to that person who is the peacemaker of the family, and having them kind of as a mediator or what have you, and letting people know, you're not going to hold me to my past. You know, we're here
exactly.
Today. We're here to celebrate mm-hmm. together. And my past is in the past. I can't change the past. But all
exactly.
I can do is be present right now, give you the best of me that I have. And if
exactly.
you want to hold on to that, then you're going to hold on to
fine.
That by yourself. We're not going to have an argument
it
about
exactly.
what I used to do or what I used to be.
So, Jasmine, how do you deal with those hurt feelings, though? Those old hurt feelings. Vicky shows up and she's got it going on now, but there are still people who, members of the family, that may have some wounds that are unhealed. How do you address that?
I think those are conversations you can still have. You can start them off during the holidays with a soft touch, or you can continue them on, you know, throughout the year, because those things won't be resolved quickly. It's okay to make good change, healthy change, and not being who you used to be requires you to establish a new reputation with repeated performance.
Exactly.
So you continue to show up as this whole
exactly.
person, as your best self, despite people, when people want to try to humble you, sometimes that is evidence of those, you know, remaining wounds, those hurt feelings. So addressing that is a part of being this new person, saying, you know, I know I messed up, or I know I hurt you when I used to do X, Y, and Z. I realized that, and here's the new path I'm on, as evidenced by X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And let's just move forward, because you're important to me. I'm going to continue to show up the way that you have been. I'm going to continue to show up, be present with the family, and let's, you know, create a path moving forward.
And there you go. Vicki, look, thank you so much for sharing with us. Happy holidays to you. And I hope that you have wonderful family gatherings, not just during this season, but all season. So, again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So it's we've spoken about people who may be toxic at family gatherings, and these may be individuals. And I touched on this a little bit. What can families, groups, those responsible cape-wearing members of the family do prior to those black sheep showing up? Because it's, you know, because sometimes you don't know how those people are going to show up. Mm-hmm. And while you may expect the worst, they may be in an improved state or they may be in a worse state. What kind of conversations might you have as a, you know, as a group? You know, if Grandpa and Big Sis and Junebug, those are the ones that are really responsible. How do you talk to each other about that?
I think it starts right there. Like you said, get the responsible ones. Maybe that's you. And then talk about how we're going to have this conversation. And if we don't gang up on people, then they're less likely to be defensive. But it could be a simple, hey, why don't you run with me to the grocery store? And then you can start that conversation with that difficult person and just say, hey, how you doing? You know in the past we used to argue about, you know, not we, but meaning, you know, you used to set it off at all the get-togethers. How are you doing? And, you know, we really want to make this a memorable Thanksgiving or what have you, and then get the buy-in from them. Because if we start attacking them with little snide remarks and comments and things of that nature, that's when you give them ammunition to, you know, blow up. But maybe getting that person to the side or having them come in the kitchen to help you cut up greens or whatever, can you stir that pot for me? And you're just having dialogue that way. I think it kind of like what Jasmine said, it softens that touch. And then that person may be more receptive to being amicable.
Absolutely. I agree. I also think, you know, you just take the temperature early on. So you start those conversations even with, are you going? Are you coming to such and such? How have you been? And then you can kind of gather that kind of intel to know they've not been doing too well. Things have been, you know, quite upsetting, or they're still upset about the last gathering and they want to talk about it. You don't have to try to resolve everything in one fell swoop, in one conversation, but just kind of, hey, what's going on? You're coming through? Okay, I can expect to see you. And then on the next conversation, I know we had, you know, a bumping of the heads, or we have this issue that never got quite resolved. How do you want to approach it so that it doesn't become everyone's issue when we show up at the gathering?
Here's one that I think is really important that we have not discussed, how to address the issue of children. If, what was that? Okay. Jasmine had one.
I'm
so,
and that's
fine, because for that very same, you know, reason, that interjection, is an issue. So talk to me about your thoughts about that, and then I'll continue my point, Jasmine.
About children in terms of
in
how...
In any way that you think children may be an issue during those family gatherings.
I think, you know, family gatherings and being a parent myself, it's definitely an opportunity to receive unsolicited advice. I think that's a lot of times the concern, whether how you are treating your children, gifting to your children, disciplining your children, raising your children. All of those things seem to come into as possible topics of discussion. So I try to just focus on celebrating their achievements, focusing on that. if their parents are present, I make it a point not to discipline other people's children, family members or otherwise. I try to say, you know, your mom's over there. Your daddy's over there. Because I know sometimes, you know, being in social situations, kids, they get excited. They're happy to see people. They're maybe meeting folks for the first time. And it's okay to understand that who you're seeing, even if they're misbehaving, is just in this moment. That's not necessarily who their character is overall, even when they're frustrating. Just, you know.
So how do you deal with misbehaving kids at family gatherings when those children are not yours?
What I do is, especially if it's at my home, my rule is when you come in my home, I'm treating you just like you're one of my kids. Mm. And my brothers know that, my cousins know that, my sister-in-law knows that. When their kids come here, it's auntie's rules, and you know you'll abide by that. And I'm the chill aunt, so you know there's not really too much they can do to get in trouble at my house. But you know, again, setting those expectations, because when you go to grandma's house, you're not touching grandma's trinkets, you're not sitting on her good couch, you know, things of that nature. And having those conversations up front, kids today are not stupid. Mm-hmm. So if you have those conversations, even with the children, and letting them know what the expectations are, you know, if it is, you know, granddaddy eats first, letting those children know you're not getting to the front of the line. I know you do it at our house, but at, you know, at the cookout, granddaddy eats first. You don't get a plate until he gets his. Having those conversations, then I think the kids will be more inclined to behave, you know, in a manner where it's comfortable for everybody, because you don't want the kids not to have fun. You know, again, it's spending time with your family, but just letting them know, hey, you know, those cell phones go away during dinner, letting y'all know ahead of time. And having, again, those conversations before you get into the setting.
I think that's really, really a great piece. On the other side of that, having, if your child rearing days are over, if you are grandparents or what have you, your house may not necessarily be kid friendly, and you may have trinkets, valuables, and statuettes that even in your own house you need to walk around gingerly so that you don't elbow them and knock them over. So do you need to move stuff before the kids come?
Yes. No.
No?
Well, it depends on if the person with the trinkets and the statuettes is the host.
Right. That's what I mean.
Or if they're the host, they probably feel like, no, you adjust to this setting where I'm hosting you. I think it's okay, though, for adults to model the behavior they're expecting of the kids. And I think it's also okay for them to take charge in the conversation and say, Mama, you know, such and such is coming, and they're just naturally clumsy. So I'm just going to move this up here. I'll move it back once, you know, the dinner is concluded. When we're cleaning up, clearing out, I'll set everything back to the way it was. Because people like their routines and the familiarity of their space. And I think that's one thing that creates some additional stress around the holidays, the way all of that has to change. So I think it's okay to say, let's just move these to the side. Let's still understand the spaces that are off limits. And once everything is concluded, I, as the adult with my children that I know can be clumsy or prone to touching things, or having to be reminded not to, I'll put everything back exactly the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Should you ask?
I have a one-year-old grandson.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I make sure that we put the little plugs in the wall.
Yeah.
I do move stuff because he's one. And then when we go to my mom's house, the same thing, putting those things up because he's one. You know, he doesn't know. He's running around picking up stuff, putting stuff in his mouth. So I think to the hostess or whoever's hosting the gathering, if it's at someone's home, I think people have to be a little bit flexible when it comes to little people, and making it, I would say, somewhat childproof, so that you don't have any injuries as well. So whether that's keeping little ones away from the steps or out the kitchen when there's cooking going on and things of that nature, you know, having a conversation with that parent as well.
Mm-hmm. I have a few moments left, and I just wanted to kind of recap some of your thoughts. And I think, again, back to you know, that subtitle, The Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. So when you, that is just so, wow. When it comes to those family gatherings, do you need to make sure that you get along with the family before you say I do in anticipation of family gatherings that need to be stress-free, Tanya?
I think so. I think it would help your marriage if you got along with your in-laws. Thankfully, my husband has a huge family, and, you know, when we first met them when we were dating, it was great. I saw how they were for cookouts and Christmas and things of that nature. They're way wilder than my family. My family
wilder.
But I have to adjust when I go there. I know it's loud. I know that there are cousins who are going to come in, and their lifestyle is a little different from mine. And so, you know, we say, okay, we're going to leave my purse in the trunk. And so, you know, you have to get yourself prepared to go into family gatherings. Wow. If you already know so-and-so is loud talking and things of that nature, you may just want to avoid them at the family gathering. But, yeah, definitely if you get along with your in-laws before you say I do, that makes life so much easier.
There you go. Jasmine, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are that we're responsible for mediating relationships that were in existence before we got partnered. So always make sure to feel like your partner is showing up with a team member when you're going into family gatherings. Otherwise, I think it's just really important we remember holidays are stressful, if not readily evident, and we need to make sure we give space and patience so people can engage holidays the best way they can. Remember to resist the need to overindulge in gift giving and spending, eating and drinking, because we don't want to start those unhealthy behaviors before the year ends. And remember to prepare for all of these different breaks and interruptions to your routines with good preparation.
There you go. Jasmine Seville and Tanya Barnett, thank you both so much for sharing with us, and certainly happy holidays. Thank you. And I wish you all peaceful family gatherings during the holidays. Thank you so much. You're welcome. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, December 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.